Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the Mobile 5280 studios, this is the Weekend Geek Update Special Report. I am sitting at Mr. X Comics Independent Artist Expo. And joining us is Gareth, who is actually like 7 degrees of Nate Hamill.
Probably a little.
We're going to make a game of this. 7 degrees of Nate Hamill.
I would say it's probably closer to 69 degrees of Nate Hamill. But
oh,
hey,
don't tell. There's some naughtiness there. I know. It's like a running theme today. 69.
Yeah. I don't know if you might regret this later, having me on here.
But never. They let me come back every week, so it's not a question of regret.
Kind of like my marriage.
There we go. Oh. No more marriage jokes. Bad, bad, bad. Gareth, thanks for sitting down with us.
Thank you for having me.
So is this your first group? I mean, have you done cons before?
I have done. I kind of bounce back and forth between, you know, I did DCC the first year as a guest.
In Artist Alley?
No, as a spectator. Yeah, spectator.
Oh, you're on the other side of the table.
Yeah, I was on the other side of the table. Okay. And then this year, hopefully I'll be back on the, you know, artist side of the table, mm-hmm. helping RTG, Red Team Go Colorado. You've heard of them.
Yeah, I'm sure. I know Red Team Go.
Yeah, helping them out just as, you know, part of the group. Like, hey, you guys need to take a break. I'm going to come, you know, I'll come sit at your table. You guys take a break. Because I wasn't able to get a table this year. But
they go quick.
They do. They go really fast. And then, let's see. I was at the first Rocky Mountain Con.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've done this. And a few other smaller ones, you know, just here and there. So
as an artist, how long have you been at it, or what's your long term goal there, Gareth? Because you're in a book already.
I am, which is, you know, kind of like I've hit the dream. Now what do? Do I just retire and, you know,
walk out a champion? Drop the mic, bitches. I'm out.
You know, go Rocky on everything. I just beat Apollo Creed already. What do I do now? Oh wait, I got the Russian. I'm just staying in. I'm sleeping in that day.
I missed the bus.
Yeah. No, it's I've been wanting to draw since I was about, I mean, it's probably the atypical story from everyone, but I've been wanting to draw since I was literally old enough to reach, you know, to understand a pencil makes marks. You know?
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of stories of, you know, my mom used to tell me a story. I walked in on you one time, and you had drawn a whole mural on your bedroom wall, like from one end to the other.
Wow.
And she's like, I wanted to kill you, but I didn't want to hinder your artistic, you know. She's like, so I just walked away.
Yeah, when I drew on the wall, my parents put me in timeout. Of course, what I was drawing with was probably not recommended, but, you know, hey.
She did tell me I was adopted after that, so I'm not sure.
She disowned you right there.
She's like, you are not mine.
Out.
But yeah, you know, and there's actually a picture floating around of me somewhere where I'm in diapers, like not even a year and a half old, and I'm climbing up my uncle's leg to get to his box of comic books that he has sitting in his lap.
So have you been, how much influence from comics? Are you a big reader? Or?
I've been reading off and on since I was about 7, you know.
Okay.
Like collecting kind of. I'm one of those weird collectors. I collect artists. I'm not.
That's not weird at all in the comic book industry.
Well, yeah, it's like I'm not big on stories. Like if the story's good, that's just a plus, you know. But like, there's plenty of artists where I'll pick up their book. The story is horrible, but I love the artwork.
Right.
You know.
Who's some of your favorite artists?
Jim Lee, obviously. Joe Madureira. He's infuriating. He's one of those. If I ever met him, I'm not sure if I would choke him or shake his hand.
So where are you sitting right now on the new Battle Chasers then? Because, you know, he's bringing the comic back in addition to the video game. So
I am stoked. Like, it's one of those. It's like, you know, I probably feel like Tina Turner did after Ike hit her the first time and she came back, you know.
The first time Ike hit you? Okay, I got it.
it's like, oh, why did I say yes to you? But you're so pretty.
Did you play Darksiders?
I love Darksiders. Yeah, I loved it. I have both of the art books, actually.
Oh, wow.
For the games.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I would say Joe Madureira is probably my all-time favorite.
So, of the X-Men, because that was probably his, well, I can't say one of his most successful runs, but, yeah. I mean, that's probably what got him recognized.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite character by him?
I think the favorite character he's ever drawn that I enjoy just looking at is probably Gambit.
Okay.
You know, he never drew Gambit very often, but just his style just, for some reason, fit Gambit really well.
Well, let's see. What was the Hollow Foil cover? Like, what, 150 that he did with Gambit?
Yes, and it, with the Marauders on the cover?
Yes.
Yeah. I still have that comic, actually. I do. I kept all of my Joe Madureira comics when I had to sell.
Oh, that's got to be a painful story.
Yes and no. Luckily, at the time, the comics I was willing to get rid of was only about two long lights worth of comics.
Okay, that's marginal, you know, damage.
The comics that I kept was about a little over half of a long light.
Okay.
And that was mostly Joe Madureira comics, you know, any of my key, like I had Michael Turner's issue 500 X-Men.
Oh, yes.
Cover. And it was right after he died.
He passed it. Well, that was released, yeah. I think that was, what, like a week or two after his passing? Yeah. I mean, it was
so
sudden.
I'm definitely not getting rid of that.
No.
You know? Even though I think now even the black and white sketch cover of that version is only like $200 on eBay or something.
Not only. Hey, I'm sorry, I don't have that big artist money that you got coming in. $200, yeah. Wow.
Did you not just see me eating Wendy's, like, dollar menu 5 minutes ago?
You could like Wendy's, I'm not judging.
I like redheads, but that's... Yeah. That's a different story.
That's a different story. That's a different podcast.
I don't think we got you. There's children around here. We don't have time for that.
There's some youngins. So with Joe Mad then, because that's got to be infuriating because he's great.
Oh, yeah.
But he, like, dropped off the planet, does comics for a little while. He's in and out.
Yeah. Yeah, I just think it's really interesting how, you know, he can still do that. You know, you have to admire his staying power for him to just be like, you know what, I'm done with comics, I'm gonna go do video games. And then he comes back, he's like, hey, guess what, guys, I'm drawing Amazing Spider-Man. And everybody's like, what?
Yeah.
You know, they just lose their minds and they rip off their clothes and throw money in the air, like.
Yeah, because when he did the cover for that Amazing Spider-Man issue, not Astonishing. Yeah, it was Astonishing.
Actually. I think it was Astonishing.
Or Astonishing,
yeah.
Spider-Man.
Blown away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and then... And then he's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm only going to do 3 issues of this run. No, was it the Savage Spider-Man?
No, it was the Savage, because he had the Wolverine storyline in it, and I was just like, you bastard.
Yeah, because his Wolverine is amazing as well. But, yeah, you know, so he does that Spider-Man, and then he, you know, he did that Wolverine run for a little bit, and then he just recently did Inhumans that kicked Inhumans back off.
I couldn't even look. I don't like the Inhumans enough to buy. As much as I love Joe Mad's work,
yeah,
I don't like the Inhumans that much.
Yeah, I like Black Bolt. Black Bolt's about the only one.
Yeah, but he's got nothing to say.
You know. That's true.
He's got nothing to say.
That's true. But a lot of the wisest men are that way.
Oh, yes. Oh, touche. Oh. Touche. Got a little Nietzsche on me there. So if you're going to cross over into the comic book realm, the superhero world as it is, who would you want to draw? Who are you interested in?
If I had the choice, Gambit, obviously. He's one of my favorite characters.
Really?
Gambit, yeah.
He throws cards. He carries a stick.
He does. But he can also make all of those things explode.
He talks in a funny accent that only Chris Claremont can write.
And he has a hot redhead. So,
is Rogue a redhead or is she a brunette with a skunk stripe?
I think it depends on who draws her.
That's
really
a good point.
Okay. But I think she was already supposed to be kind of a redhead, or like an auburn, whatever. If you want to get technical,
okay.
Reddish brown.
Yeah, when she started, definitely
auburn. Yeah.
See.
See. Well, Rebecca knows.
Yeah.
She, my comic book thesaurus over here.
Mental high five.
Yeah.
Nice.
And points.
Gambit would be one. Batman would be another, but I would just be terrified to draw Batman. Because
it can't be any worse than like Sam Keith's Batman with the aerial antennas for ears.
That's true. That is true. I don't know, like, because, you know, any comic book enthusiast anywhere it's always, you know, you can tell who they are. You'd be like, Batman or Superman. You immediately, you know, that's a deciding factor for a lot of friendships or enemies. Or
really?
Frenemies.
Frenemies.
I think.
Okay.
You know.
I hate you, but just enough to respect you.
Yeah. You know, like a good buddy of mine, also in Red Team Go, Andrew Mark.
Yeah.
Yeah, he loves Superman. Him and I all the time, we're just like, you know, giving each other just...
Back and forth?
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's just it. I can't... Superman's too goody. Batman will win every time.
Yeah, exactly.
Batman's going to win.
Exactly. That's, you know...
Because he ain't coming to a fight unprepared.
No.
Nobody gets that. No, he'll just squash him. No, ain't going to happen.
You know, he probably carries the kryptonite on him every time he knows Superman's around.
It's in a suppository, just in case. A metal suppository in his ass.
Under his skin. Like, kind of like Punisher did in the Daredevil. Did you see season 2 yet?
I did. What'd you think?
So good.
So, is that your Punisher? Or do you? Because with him coming from Walking Dead, all I could see was Shane.
And see, I am one of those Walking Dead snobs. I like the comic better than the show.
That's not a snob. That's good taste.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Yeah. Yeah. So I never really watched. Yeah. But I never really watched the show at all. You know, I've seen the first few episodes. My son loves it. My oldest son.
Okay.
But he loves zombies and horror stuff. Anyways, he's really into stuff like that. And he's like, "Can I watch Walking Dead?" I'm like, "Knock yourself out." I have a deal with him is if he does good in school for a certain amount of time, he gets a Walking Dead hardcover book. So he's reading the comics as well as getting...
Okay.
So he's getting both ends.
There we go. Well, that's educational then.
Yeah. You know, and, you know, this one's better, just so you know.
so you get the Punisher. So what are your thoughts?
That's the thing. Like, not coming from Walking Dead. Like, I knew the character from Walking Dead.
Right.
But seeing him just as Frank Castle... Personally, I think it was the best Frank Castle ever.
Really? Even over Thomas Jane?
Thomas Jane was amazing. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, until now, he was hands down the Punisher.
Right.
And I think that if...
Better than Dolph Lundgren could ever be.
Jury's out on that still. I mean, it's Dolph Lundgren.
It's Dolph Lundgren. He would break you.
He's a super smart brain and this really powerful body.
Yeah.
He's cursed.
Just like
he's
a T-Rex.
Trapped.
Yes, he's trapped.
You know, but yeah, so I loved it. You know, the guy they got playing Daredevil is amazing.
That's probably the brightest piece of casting, I think, so far with the characters.
You know.
And as much as I do love the guy playing Kingpin.
Yeah.
I'm wishy-washy on it. I'm on the fence.
I think he has his moments of grit, like, because you can almost see that really controlled madness underneath the surface. But it's Vincent D'Onofrio. That's literally how he lives his life.
Well, he's like one of the best character actors.
One of them, yeah.
Because when you think like Men in Black, the Edgar Sue. I mean, come on.
Water.
Sugar, water. Or, I mean, when you see him in, like, was it Criminal Minds or one of the SVU shows? Where he's, like, the bumbling detective.
Yeah, and SVU.
Yeah, I mean, just to
Law
see him
Order,
doing that. Yeah, it's like, wow.
Or The Cell. He was the...
Oh, he was in The Cell. You're like, this guy fucked up.
he's amazing. So, like, I think... There are moments of genius in his role as Kingpin. Like, you know, when you can tell he's off throughout the first season, and then he smashes that dude's head in the door. Spoiler alert!
That's season one. I'm hoping they got through that by now.
But you know, you never know. These pansies today, they're like, don't ruin my story. It's been out for seven months.
Yeah, at this point. Yeah, because like last week we do the review on Batman versus Superman. We're like, after 500 million, if you hadn't seen this one, you're a freaking liar and you're not missing anything. So we're doing you a favor.
You're not a fan of the Batman versus Superman?
No.
How about Ben Affleck?
I don't know. Yeah, Rebecca's got to leave. Not the best Batman, but not the worst Batman.
I agree. Like, I would almost say he's probably... Now, if you're going just for Batman...
Okay.
Keaton, I would say, is the best Batman.
Well, see, we were talking about this off mic.
Yeah.
Because what about Kevin Conroy as the animated Batman?
The best Batman voice ever. Like, and literally, he is Batman.
He is Batman. No,
That's not up for debate. that's just put that on the shelf as word of God.
So nobody argues it. It's done.
Yeah.
Michael Keaton is, he is the Batman. He set it down.
Yeah.
And after that, it was just kind of like, eh, I'm not a big, I don't like Val Kilmer.
Yeah.
So that Batman is horrible. There's also
George Clooney.
Clooney is right there in the bottom.
Clooney, he was literally just being himself.
He was. He really was.
You know,
and there was
with
no
nipples.
Difference with nipples. And there's no difference between the Saint and Batman when, you know, Kilmer did that.
No.
So it's just like, okay.
So you have Keaton, Bale, and now Affleck. And here's my my personal take on it. Keaton is the best Batman. His Bruce Wayne was horrible. I think.
But see, I liked his Bruce Wayne because it was quirky.
You
want to
get nuts,
But see, it's Bruce Wayne trying to be tough, or when he's sitting in the elevator and he's like, "Oh, and I'm leaving." You know, it's the awkward contrast, just like in the animated with how Kevin Conroy would switch his voice Bruce Wayne. And when he would do Batman.
Yeah.
So it's hard.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, his Batman is amazing. His Bruce Wayne, I didn't like. I mean, but you could tell he was two different people. He did that really well.
Without doing the voice. I'm not wearing hockey pads.
that's the best. The best. Like,
brilliant. I'm not wearing hockey pads.
But he has the lisp, too.
He
when
does.
He says it. So, you know. But I think Bale's Bruce Wayne is amazing. He plays the brooding playboy billionaire. You know, he does it really well.
Well, see, and I liked his dialogue between him and Khan.
Yes.
I mean, the dialogue between him and Alfred, spot on. When all this goes south, I'm just blaming it on you. But what I liked was Jeremy Irons.
Jeremy Irons' Alfred is amazing.
That was right out of the animated series for me.
Yeah.
The sarcasm, if you live this long, I'm surprised. You know, it's like Eeyore taking care of the house for Pooh.
Like, I even closed my eyes at one point, and I'm like, oh, it's Scar. Scar is
taking care of the Batcave.
This is what he hoped for in The Lion King. He hoped that, you know, the young son whose parent he killed would be...
Exactly right. I dumped him off.
Yeah. But no, I enjoyed Batman vs. Superman mostly because I hate Superman, but I love how he's portrayed in the Zack Snyder movies.
Well, and you also have to look at the point that it's more like Batman.
Roll your eyes over there.
Batman meets the DCU is what this movie is.
Yeah.
I mean, Superman shows up for the chorus, and the song is being sung by Batman.
Yeah.
That's pretty much well it.
Yeah. You know, and I was just talking with some guys over earlier about Batman vs. Superman, and I'm like, I liked almost all of it, except the fact that they had three different stories they never quite tied up.
So the whole movie.
Yeah. I didn't mind Lex Luthor. I was like, well, okay, I get it. It's not Lex Luthor. It's not our Luthor. It's his son, Lex Jr. So he's a millennial douchebag like a lot of kids nowadays.
All right. I won't even go on that rant.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one. Whatever.
You know, but, you know, I like Batman. Yeah, I like Ben Affleck's take on Batman. I didn't, and the whole gun thing, I don't think we have time for me to explain why I was okay with that. But,
yeah, because I don't think there's rubber bullets coming out of those Gatling guns in the Batmobile. They don't really deal with concrete well.
What's funny is I actually literally thought, I was like, are those rubber bullets or what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, no. I don't know. The way I justified it to myself, Robin is dead and he lost it. More than he did originally, you know, like
with the Dark Knight and all that, right?
Yeah. So that's why I kind of allowed myself to swallow that pill. I was like, okay. You know, but I mean, I think Affleck did a good job.
Yeah.
I think Affleck did good. His Bruce Wayne and Batman, though not the best by themselves, together, I think made the best Batman or the best Bruce Wayne Batman combo.
Okay.
Because he played both parts really well.
And how much of it can you blame on script? I mean, you give you, and this is going to tie up nicely because as an artist, you are left to interpret the story the best you can. So in the Affleck versus this opus that should have been in Watchmen. Yeah. Let's face it. I mean, yeah. The long pauses, and yeah. the panning views of Superman. How do you deal with that? What do you do?
I think it depends. Like, I think usually beforehand, if I work with a writer, who, interesting story, that one of the current writers I'm working with it happens to be my ex-wife, speaking of marriages earlier. No, but we...
Is this back to the bad redheads?
Kind of. No, but her and I get along great. So that's, you know, I think we lucked out in that lottery pool.
That's good.
But I think it just really depends. Like, you know, we, as an artist, the way I see it is it's a two-way street. You know, you give me your ideas. We're a team. We work on it together. You know,
right.
If I'm like trying to draw something out and I'm like, this scene just isn't working, I'm going to come to you and be like, hey, what can we do here? These are some of the ideas I had, mm-hmm. you know? I mean, but then, of course, you're always going to have those writers who are like, oh, no, leave it as it is.
They think they're Alan Moore.
Alan Moore doesn't even think he's Alan Moore.
That's a good point.
You know, so, I mean, it just really depends. Like, I think the best combination to work with is someone who is very loose in their writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, if you have someone who details every particular item in the room in one panel, like, this is what's on the desk, this is what's on the shelf next to it, you're just like, oh,
man. Wow, yeah, that's too much script time, just yeah, get an outline, dude.
Yeah, and you know, and it just really depends on what you're, you know, some artists prefer that, you know, me I like to you know, let my imagination run wild, like a hippie at Woodstock, you know, just go.
That's more than run wild, dude. That's a checkout past Pluto.
Hey, when I in my day, Pluto was a planet.
That's right. An asteroid.
But yeah, so I just kind of, you know, I prefer that kind of thing, like, especially if it's really loose and you're just like, hey, this is kind of what's happening in this panel. You know, this is what's happening in this panel.
Right.
You know, make it happen. You know, and it's always great to see that and, you know, work with that. Because, I mean, I'm too much of a rebel to begin with. I was in the Navy for a while, so that should tell you everything.
Well, we won't bring that in.
Yeah.
You just like to do messed up things because you're at sea a lot.
Boredom.
Boredom. You know. Come up with ways to entertain yourself. So, what's your current project? What are you working on right now?
Currently, as far as me personally, I'm working on... the book, like I said, with my ex-wife, we're working on a book based off of our two sons.
Oh, okay.
And the
kind of like Cain and Abel out of Sandman.
Actually, in a way, yes. I mean, it hits all of the atypical, you know, plot lines you can find in a story like that. You know,
wow,
one
okay.
One brother is corrupted and falls from grace, and then the other has to try to bring him back to the light. It's very, you know, there's a lot of. And then it all kind of boils down to, was this all real or not? You know, like, at the end of the first issue, you know, because the quick sub, you know, quick subplot?
Right.
Or, you know, synopsis. That's the word I'm okay. looking for, synopsis. two brothers go to a Comic-Con, find, you know, because you've been to plenty of cons.
Oh, yeah.
You always know that one table that's just sitting in the back, you know, the redheaded stepchild table.
The last minute table yeah. they got in. You're like, oh.
We could put you here. Okay. Right. I guess. You know, and they find out it's the person running the table is the owner of the comic shop that they go to a lot. So they're all excited. They're like, hey, yeah. Oh, you have costumes now. Cool. They get these costumes, take them home, and they go run around outside playing. You know, then one of them flies up and saves a cat out of a tree. The other one stops a little girl from being hit by a car. And then it just gets bigger and bigger. And by the end of the day, they're on this bridge in the big city saving a bus from falling off the bridge. And as they're standing there, you know, it's that, oh, yeah, hey, high fives, you know, smack. Yeah, that's good job. And on panel, it's boys, dinner. And they look down the stairs and they're just standing in the room. So you're like,
trippy.
You're like, is this imagination or not? You know, so then they go down, you know, villain shows up after they you know, they keep, you know, and then it kind of just stays in this imagination world. They you know, grow and grow and grow, and you see them as these young men.
Mm-hmm.
Not quite adult, but they're still young
tweeners.
Men. Yeah, okay. You know, maybe a little older than that, but, you know.
Okay.
And then they're you know, they're well known in the city. They've saved countless lives, you know. Then a villain shows up, obviously, as villains are wont to do. You know, villains got to show up.
That's right.
Which there's a whole huge backstory for the villain too, but you know, essentially, villain shows up, tries to corrupt the older brother, and say, "Hey, I will give you all this power if you destroy your, if you kill your brother." Basically, it's like, "Hey, stop your brother from stopping me, and I'll make you like
make it worth your while."
Yeah.
Wow, that's deep, dude.
Yeah, it's going pretty, you know, there's so many cool things about it. Like, you know, then the two brothers fight.
Right.
You know, the older brother is like, "I'm going to destroy you." It almost has him. But then it throws back to an earlier scene in the book where the younger brother's like shows him something. And he's the older brother brother remembers. And then, you know, he flies off. He's all like tear and just disappears, you know, because he's like, he's so torn. And it's that conflicted, you know. Then they defeat the villain. And this is where it really gets messed up. They defeat the villain.
Yeah.
They're standing over the villain, you know. The older brother's return to grace, although he's more...
He's redeemed himself and
all
that.
Yeah, he's redeemed himself, although he's still a little dark from, you know, dealing with all the stuff he went through. The younger brother's all happy. They're, you know, team again. And then as they're standing there over the defeated villain, they hear, "Boys, dinner." And then they're kids again, running downstairs.
Damn. You gonna mess with a reader like that. Vicious.
We were talking about, when we just started coming up with the story, I was she's like, "Wait, so is this imagination or is this reality?" And I was like, "Exactly." And she was like, "Oh, this is," I'm like, "I'm telling you.
You are like dark towering people right now." he's been in the thing the whole time.
Yeah.
Shit.
Dark towering.
Yeah, dark towering. Aren't I?
At least it's not as bad as, you know, mine, you know, last week where I came up with coat hangering things.
That the coat hangering thing was funny. And then I gave hamling to Bill.
Hamling?
So Bill's hamling right now as we speak, probably. Yeah. It's irritating Mark Hamill. Mm. Hamling.
Nice.
Or just, I'm sure it'll escalate into just irritating people in general. Hamling.
Yeah. I mean, I do that on a daily basis, before coffee in the morning. That's I make sure I've at least hamled a few people. Wait. That could be.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
There we go. Going dark. So, favorite book of all time, then? What do you always recommend? Let me ask you that, because I can't say favorite book of all time, because it's different genres and all that. But what do you always recommend to a reader that you say, you know what, this is a must?
This is a must. I think it depends on a few, you know, who I'm talking to. Like, one thing I do like to recommend to a lot of people, and it's probably, I rarely hear anybody recommend it to anybody, Extinction Agenda.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, yeah, see, it's one of those, because, and it could be more just a personal thing to me, that was one of the big first story arcs I was ever introduced to.
So for the listeners, the Extinction Agenda was basically over the three different X-Men titles, three issues for each. So in Charles Xavier, was that the second time he got shot or
I believe so.
Smoked or whatever it was? And it rested heavily on Cable and all of that. Yeah. So, I mean, that's an interesting pick, though.
Yeah, and, you know, I think, you know, I was a big X-Men fan growing up. You know, most kids.
It's kind of hard not to be at this point, right?
You know, so that's one I like to recommend to people. Another one I like to recommend is Superior Spider-Man.
Okay.
Where Dr. Octopus takes over Peter Parker's body.
Which is a nice twist for a change.
And it was, I mean, it kind of gives you the idea of what Peter Parker really could be. Because, I mean, if you think about it, I think Dr. Octopus is more his antithesis than Green Goblin is.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, he's what Peter Parker could be. He's what Spider-Man could be.
If he was just a little on the dark side.
Yeah, and so that's why I kind of really enjoy that story, because it's, you know.
So even better than, like, the other storyline, when he, with Ezekiel and all that, and the Way of the Spider. And
I didn't like that storyline.
Okay.
I don't know if it's me being a Spider-Man elitist or whatever.
Ooh, okay.
I'm not claiming that I am, but I don't know if it's just I don't buy the whole, this is, you know, we're given these powers by a god. It's like, no, where's the radioactive spider? That's Spider-Man.
The tie-in, okay.
Yeah, so it's like.
So the web, fuck it.
Yeah, I'm like, granted, you know, the new Spider-Gwen, I thought that was a cool idea. It's not something I generally recommend to people, but it's. Right. I just thought it was cool. I was like, oh, this is neat that they're bringing back this character, and it's actually working, you know?
Right. It's not half what if, yeah. Half shot full of holes. Right.
And I think, I'm a huge Batman fan. Batman's probably my all-time favorite, you know, character ever. The Nightfall storyline is one I always recommend.
Okay.
You know, it's... Because, you know, it introduces the new villain, Bane.
Azrael comes in.
Batman, you know, Batman's climb to, you know, return to the light, climb back from the pit. And, you know, it's just a great story, you know.
Even over, say, Long Halloween or Court of Owls or Hush.
Court of Owls is also a good one. That's another one, like, because I love the new 52 Batman. Greg Capullo is an amazing artist, one of my favorites. Scott Snyder is an amazing writer.
Right.
You know.
That has been like the Big Mac and fries combo for yeah. for Batman for a while, I got to say.
Yeah, you know, but the whole, not just Court of Owls, but what is it, House of Owls, the follow-up storyline.
Right, the Judgment.
Amazing. I usually recommend that whole series to people. They'll be like, you like Batman? I'm like, New 52, read it. The new 52 sucks. Well, you know.
It does, but so this is okay.
Mom, but that's not
mom jokes. Ouch.
Nothing is sacred.
Not in a comic shop.
No, come on.
It's all open game, especially you know, moms.
Yeah.
I had to get a mom joke in.
But, you know, so, that, you know, that's, you know, I think the only storyline I wasn't really that impressed with out of the new 52 Batman run was, Year One. Like, it was good.
Oh, with Riddler and all of that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was good, but I was like, meh. You know, it seemed almost like a filler between, oh, Endgame's coming. We need something to kind of distract him so
just
we can...
throw it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll pay a little homage to the Riddler and just show how much of a badass he could be. But this ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, right? yeah, I think so. Those are some of probably the books I like to recommend the most to people.
Right.
The stories and... And then, obviously, my own books.
Your own books.
Hint.
So if somebody wants to look you up, do you have a Twitter or Facebook feed that you want to pump out there?
Yeah, obviously, Red Team Go has Facebook, Red Team Go CO at Facebook. They also have a website, redteamgocolorado.com. I am on Facebook as well. You can find my artwork, Ghost Wolf Studios. And then there's... I'm on Twitter, and I'm literally on everything. I could not tell you what any of the names are. I'm pretty sure it's some variation of Ghost Wolf Studios. So just guesswork. I make you find me. How's that? You gotta work.
There you go. You gotta work at it. When is the kids' store? I mean, how close are you to completion? Or is
that
done?
We're running through the script right now.
Okay.
And we're hoping it'll be at least a good 12-issue run.
Easily.
Yeah, there's a lot of points we want to hit with that story, you know. And then, another one that I'm also going to be, I don't know if I'm going to draw it. I'm more helping my friend get it out there because he's writing it. I'm sure you're familiar with like fantasy games, D&D, whatever, you know.
I may have dabbled a little bit.
Yeah. he's the story he's writing. You always have that adventurer team. We're the best adventurers ever. You know, you're
right.
Playing, you're like, I'm the rogue, thief, orc, you know, goblin, whatever.
I run the Thieves Guild.
Yeah. And you
bow before my omnipotence.
Yeah. And, right. You know, it's like you're always the best. Well, what about the team that gets there after you?
The cleanup squad?
More like the second. Yeah, the second best adventurer team in the land. What about those guys? Well, that's what his book is about. Is those guys.
Okay.
You know, you have the sorceress who flunked out of school, so she only knows like three spells. But she has a nice set of boobs. So
okay. So she has other assets.
Yeah. You know, so
she's the pretty one.
Yeah. You know, you have the barbarian gnome who looks like a midget Arnold Schwarzenegger.
I was gonna
who
say,
skipped,
was he gonna come at you with a pickaxe?
He skipped leg day, but he looks, you know. What he lacks in size, he more than makes up for in his attitude.
Wow.
Like, he's literally the atypical, I'm short, so I'm mad.
Wow. There's a visual.
Yep. And then you have...
Don't make me angry.
You have the bard elf thief who can't carry a tune to save his life. And he is... If he actually tried, he would be a really good thief. But he's too busy thinking he's God's gift to women and men and anything with legs.
Wow. Yeah. He's Trey Hornet.
Yeah. And then, you know, those are the four main characters. Then you have the cleric, who never stays the same because he always dies.
Oh, so you got your Kenny of the bunch.
Yep.
Oh,
yep.
That is awesome.
The cleric always dies, the healer. Like,
right out of the gate. Oh, there goes the healer. Crap.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they are the second best adventuring team in the land, and this is their story. So
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, and you're helping with this?
I am. If I draw it, you know, that's a plus. But I'm more just kind of helping him get, because he's never written a comic book before. So I'm kind of like helping him,
coaching him along the way.
Yeah, just nice. To make sure, you know. And then I'll probably pass him on to one of the other artists at RTG if he. You know, Red Team Go, if he wants them to draw it. Or if he really wants me to draw it, I'll draw that too, you know, but...
Yeah, works.
But we got a lot, you know, got a lot of stuff going on. Like, next year, I think we're planning on having, like, 10 books out regularly.
Wow.
On a fairly regular basis, yeah.
Okay. So. Well, we look forward to seeing whatever you got coming. Maybe you'll grace our page with some artwork and some pages, so...
Yeah, for sure. I will.
We'll look forward to it.
All righty.
Thanks.
Thank you.